family, and it was decided that Gerald and Angel would stay with Monique for the time being. Mr. Washington smiled at Gerald at the end of that very long day.
My boy Rob could learn quite a bit from you, Gerald. You got guts. And remember, you also have me. You call me if things start to get shaky, you hear?
I will, but we'll be fine now. I can handle Monique. She ain't like most mamas, but she's all we got. We'll do all right.
I know you will, son. I'm sure of it.
14. Angel loved to dance. She wore music like a graceful gown that shimmered as she moved. Even the simplest melody became a full concert, like a music video, when Angel danced to it. And Gerald loved to watch her as she danced in her bedroom late at night and danced in the kitchen while she was getting ready for school. In the 6 years since the arrest and conviction of Jordan Sparks, music had helped Angel to heal and grow. She never had any formal dance lessons, but she made Gerald take her to every new movie that featured dancers, and she would get up in the middle of the night to watch a rerun of an old Fred Astaire movie. Whenever Angel felt sad or guilty or afraid, music and dancing made her feel whole again. Life for Gerald and Angel continued to be rough, even after Jordan went off to jail. Monique never did admit that she was aware of Jordan's abuse, but she did stop calling the children liars. She seemed to stop caring about the children at all. Sometimes she went to work, but sometimes she just slept all day. They had moved 4 times in the last 5 years because Monique forgot to pay the rent. At other times, she forgot to buy groceries. A caseworker checked on the children occasionally, and she tried to encourage Monique so that the family could survive. Gerald learned to cook and shop with food stamps and wash clothes at the laundromat. He never complained about the difficulty of taking care of his little sister. Rather, Angel's hugs and smiles kept him going. Gerald was her warrior and protector, and she adored him. Tiger, the kitten from that terrible Christmas 6 years ago, was the fat and clever ruler of wherever they lived. She ate anything, broccoli, sweet rolls, even toothpaste. She never strayed far from Angel's side and had once jumped on a dog that growled at Angel. Angel never slept without Tiger, who was the only one there to comfort her in the darkness of the night, when old fears came creeping from the past. Angel, who was now 12, was thin and shy. She had large eyes, which sometimes were full of remembered fear. Her hair was long, brown, and fuzzy. She wore it in 2 long braids. She walked gracefully. Her movements were never quick and jerky like those of some girls her age. At 17, Gerald was tough and stocky, with the muscles of a young man who knew hard work. He was dependable and strong, and storekeepers often paid him a few dollars to move boxes or clean up after hours. Every morning, after walking Angel to her school around the corner, Gerald took the bus to Hazelwood High School. He was glad that in spite of all their moving around, he could still attend Hazelwood. He had made a couple of really good friends and was really proud that he had made the basketball team. The Hazelwood Tigers always made the high school playoffs. 2 years ago, they were first in the state. Rob's dad had called him the day after the team roster was posted. Only 15 boys had been chosen to wear the red uniforms of the Tigers varsity.
"Congratulations, Gerald. I'm proud of you, son."
Gerald wasn't sure if Rob's dad called everybody son or not, but he liked it. He'd never had a father around to call him that. "Thanks, Mr. Washington. I'm going to do my best."
"I'll be there at the games, you know. Let me know if you ever need a ride."
"Thanks, man." Rob's dad never asked directly how things were with Gerald and Angel, but he called every few months, talking of school or baseball or the weather, letting Gerald know that he was around, just in case. Gerald never told him, but those calls meant so very much. Every year at Christmas, Mr. Washington always made sure that Angel and Gerald had something special under their tree. One year, he even provided the tree as well. Often after basketball practice, Rob and his dad gave Gerald a ride home so that he wouldn't have to take the bus. Rob, with his natural grace and ability, was already talking of college scholarships and NBA contracts. He treated everybody as if they were his best friend, but he generally hung with Andy and Gerald and a couple of other guys from the team, Tyrone and BJ. The basketball season had started well. They had won their first couple of games. Gerald actually looked forward to school. And even though most 17-year-olds would rather gag than admit they liked their little sister, he let Angel tag along when she wanted, and looked forward to her cheerful smile to warm the chilly evenings at home after school. Gerald and Angel stood at the kitchen sink together, the sunlight of a November day filtering weakly through the small window. She was washing, he was drying. The silences between them were pleasant and understood. Angel spoke first.
When is Mama coming home?
It's always hard to tell. If she got that new job, she might be real late.
Do you think she'll let me take that dance class?
If she got the job, she'll be in a good mood. Ask her then.
Gerald, you got basketball and sports and stuff. I got nothing but the music inside of me. I want to dance.
Hey, the man at the chicken place around the corner said he'd let me wash dishes after school. I could get paid for what I'm doing here, he said, laughing.
Then you could take the dance class.
Nah, Gerald, you stay on the team. You can't quit basketball. I think you like running around in your underwear, she replied.
Gerald grinned and flicked soapy water at her. She squealed and giggled, dipped her hands in the sink, and shook her drippy fingers at his face.
Gerald laughed, ducked, and just as he was chasing Angel around the kitchen with a full glass of water, Monique breezed inside with a burst of winter air.
"Ooh!" she exclaimed. "It's a freezer out there! How's my babies? And what's this water doing all over the floor?"
Monique had not changed much in the past few years. She was still very pretty, with a tiny waist that looked good in the gold belts and shiny sashes she liked to wear. She took great pride in her hair, changing its style and color to fit her mood. Today, it was a rusty blonde with a matching ponytail woven into it. Accented by bright gold earrings, her black dress and two-tone fingernails made her look much younger than she was. She looked great today, and she was smiling. Gerald looked up at her, but his good mood was gone. He didn't like it when Monique came in smiling. He knew that Monique had probably gotten the job, which meant that she would go out tonight to celebrate. He was proud of her that she had not returned to the drugs, but she had developed a taste for whiskey and was finding more and more excuses to go out and drink with her friends.
"Did you get the job, Mama?" asked Angel.
"Yes, baby, I did." Monique glowed with pleasure. "I'll be answering telephones at the YMCA every day from 9 to 5.
Aren't you proud of your mama? I gotta go celebrate."
"That's great, Mama," Angel said, hugging her.
Mama, can I ask you something?"
"Sure, baby, what you need?"
"A lady came to my school today, and she told me about this dance class that I can be in. She said I was really good. Can I be in it, please?"
"Dancing? Probably a waste of time. How much is it going to cost me?"
$50,
whispered Angel, not daring to look at her mother.
$50? Good Lord! Hey, Gerald, has the rent been paid this month?"
"Yeah, Monique, it's been paid. Let her try it, okay?"
"Okay, baby. Go dance your little heart out. As a matter of fact, I may do a little dancing myself tonight. I gotta go change."
Angel grinned at Gerald. She was going to dance. A group from the Dance Theater of Harlem was spending 6 weeks at her school, working with talented young people. She didn't tell Gerald that only 40 children had been selected for the class from over 200 who tried out, and that only 20 of those would dance in the show at the end of the program. She had been afraid to hope. Monique left, humming the latest song. The click of her high heels reminded Gerald of that day long ago, and he suddenly felt a little dizzy. The dishes finished, Angel took Tiger into her room and turned on the radio. She danced with her cat and danced with her dreams, while Gerald wrestled with memories of pain. 15.
Yo, Gerald, you need a ride to the game tomorrow?
Andy yelled across the gym.
Nah, man, I got it covered,
Gerald yelled back. Andy was one of the few boys on the team with his own car. Everybody depended on him for rides, and he loved being the center of that attention. Gerald took the bus to the games. He preferred that to the noise and crowd of Andy's car. He liked the silence of the bus ride to relax him and prepare him for a really good game. Gerald stayed every day after school for basketball practice. It was there that he felt whole and powerful. Rob, who had unanimously been named captain by the team, was tall, skinny, smart, and had the best line with girls that Gerald had ever heard. Andy was Rob's best friend. He wasn't a natural at basketball like Rob, but he tried hard and hated for Rob to outscore him. They had known each other since seventh grade and spent weekends at each other's homes. Both of them lived near the edge of the school district, where houses had neat lawns with trees in the backyard and a fresh coat of paint every other year. Gerald no longer felt uncomfortable around them, even though he lived in an apartment building downtown that had a broken elevator, graffiti on the walls, and very little grass anywhere. Andy and Rob breezed through life, collecting friends, and never making judgments about them, with seemingly no problems at all. Last month, after a movie one Saturday night, Andy, Rob, Tyrone, BJ, and Gerald had decided they were hungry, maybe even starving.
What you want to eat, man? Fast food?
How much money you got?
$4.11. What about you, BJ?
69 cents.
Hey, Gerald, what about you?
I got about $8.
We rich, man. I got an idea. Let's try that new all-you-can-eat place.
Do they really mean all?
Let's see, man,
chuckled Andy as they headed for the restaurant. They paid for two meals, then went through the line slowly. Andy got 6 kinds of meat, 10 dinner rolls, and 4 pieces of apple pie. Rob piled 8 pieces of corn on the cob, a mountain of mashed potatoes, 18 chicken wings, and 3 pieces of cheesecake on his plate. Tyrone picked up a stack of napkins and a bunch of silverware. They were laughing hysterically, but quietly.
They watching us, man, Gerald said fearfully.
That's 'cause you put jelly on your potatoes, man, BJ explained, laughing.
We ain't done nothing wrong, Robbie said with casual confidence. Let's just eat.
They laughed and gobbled up every bit of that food, smiling at the customers and making even the restaurant workers laugh along with them. When they finished, they cleared their plates, stood on the tables, and sang in perfect 5-part harmony a doo-wop version of the old Drifters song, Under the Boardwalk. Everyone in the restaurant applauded and cheered as they took their bows. An old man with dark brown skin, piercing eyes, and slick gray hair had been watching them from the back of the room. He limped over to them, gave them each a $10 bill, and said seriously,
"Enjoy your youth, my young friends. Tomorrow, it may be gone."
Robbie thanked him, then gave his $10 to the busboy as a tip, and the 5 of them left the place, humming and happy. They ended up with a great meal, a satisfied audience, and more money than they started with. They forgot about the old man and his strange words. BJ Carson, as the team's manager, went to every practice and game. He was short, only about 5 feet tall, but he was tough and strong. He tried out for the team every year, and although he never made it, the coaches admired his courage and spirit. He loved basketball, and his sense of humor and knowledge of the game made him a natural to hang with Andy, Rob, Gerald, and Tyrone. Sometimes taller, older kids who didn't know BJ tried to take advantage of him. They only made that mistake once. Last year, BJ had accidentally bumped a senior with his book bag as he walked down the hall. The senior, a 6'6", 300-pound football player named Dante, had not been amused.
"Who you bumping, punk?"
"Who you calling punk?"
BJ had asserted without fear.
"I'm calling you a punk, your mama a punk, and your greasy granny a punk, too."
Dante was big and grinned cheerfully. He was used to getting his way. BJ put down his book bag, slowly turned around, and tensed his short, wiry frame to face the much larger boy. Dante started to laugh as BJ crouched in a karate attack position, but his laughter stopped short as he found himself sitting on the floor in the main hallway, a calm and smiling BJ offering his hand to help him up.
"How'd you do that, man?"
asked Dante, who was more amazed than angry.
"Black belt, Master Kim, Taekwondo, paid for by my mama and my greasy granny," he added. "Ever need me to watch your back? Call me."
BJ disappeared into the crowd. Dante just shook his head and chuckled at the nerve of the tough little guy with the powerful whip kick. He never bothered BJ again. The five friends had several classes together at Hazelwood High School. Rob, the smartest of them, made good grades with ease. He already had several academic and athletic scholarships lined up as possibilities. Tyrone was more interested in girls than grades, especially Rhonda, who was best friends with Andy's girlfriend, Keisha. Andy didn't make very good grades, but it seemed to Gerald that he just wanted attention at home, even attention for bad grades. Andy's parents rarely came to their games, while Rob's parents never missed one. BJ's mom came to games on nights when she didn't have stuff to do at her church. Even Monique came to the big home games. Gerald never told her, but it made him feel proud. It was Friday after the last class of the day, halfway through 10th grade, halfway through basketball season. It was raining. Gerald headed for his locker.
"What'd you get on that math test?"
Andy asked Gerald.
"Another C-. If I study all night or don't study at all, seems like I get the same grade. I ain't seen a B in a long time."
"Don't sweat it, man. I got the lowest grade in the class. Again.
Coach is gonna kill me if I don't get my grades up. And my dad, he'll give me lecture number 57. You know, the one about how he always made straight A's and why can't I?"
"Yeah, man," said Gerald, but he laughed to himself as he imagined Monique giving him a lecture on good grades. She never even knew when report cards came out unless he told her. Rob and BJ chased each other down the hall, racing to their lockers.
"And another B for BJ,"
roared BJ as he tossed his books into his locker. Gerald threw a shoe at him, but BJ ducked.
"Too smooth for you, dude,"
he grinned.
"Who we play tonight, BJ?"
"Centerville. Easy win. Your dad coming, Rob?"
"Yeah, he'll be here."
"Can I get a ride home after the game, man?"
"Got room for me?" added Gerald.
"No sweat. What about you, Tyrone? You need a ride?"
"Nah, man. I'm gonna hang with Rhonda after the game." He grinned.
"You need a ride too, Andy? Your car's still not working?"
"My dad said he was coming, but yeah, I'm gonna need a ride. He won't show. He's... Hey, Rob, that math test beat you down, too?"
"Yeah, it was rough, but I got an A.
Let's go to Mickey D's and get something to eat before the game."
Gerald and Andy looked at each other and shook their heads.
"What you gonna do, man? A man's gotta eat. Let's jet."
Every day when Gerald left practice, he went by Angel School to pick her up from dance practice. She was thriving on the hard work and sweat and hours of practice. Her face would be glowing when he picked her up, and she came home hungry and happy each day. He had watched her dance once when he got there early, and it gave him goosebumps. She was so naturally fluid and rhythmic that all she needed was the music, and her body did the rest. He noticed that the instructors pointed to her with smiles of admiration. On Friday, she was so bubbly that Gerald thought she'd explode. Her eyes were bright with excitement.
"Guess what?"
She jiggled with joy.
"You won the lottery," said Gerald, smiling.
No, silly. Better than that. I got picked to be the lead in our show next month. I get to wear a costume. Can Mama sew? How will I fix my hair? Do you think I look okay in yellow? That's what color my costume is. Do you think I'll look fat? Where am I going to find yellow tights? The show is in only 2 weeks. Suppose I break my leg the night before. What is the... Hold on there, sister. You're going to run...